This is Beyond the Lens, MedTech Insights with Karl Storz, exploring the topics that matter most to you and your patients.
Welcome to Beyond the Lens, MedTech Insights with Karl Storz, your gateway to the cutting-edge world of advanced surgical technology. I am Christy Godet. I'm Vice President of Integration for Karl Storz United States. Thank you to the listeners today for joining us. We are here today to talk about ambient AI technology and how it's used in the operating room. And I have two very important guests today. I'd first like to introduce Eric Brassage. Eric works in marketing for integration systems for Karl Storz United States. He is constantly driving the delivery of innovation for our customers. Welcome, Eric, to this podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. And most importantly, I would like to introduce Dr. Andrew Gostein. Andrew is the co-founder and CEO of Artisite. He is at the forefront of fusing deep learning and IoT sensors to facilitate healthcare automation and optimization. He is a critical care anesthesiologist and a dreamer who sees healthcare through the AI lens of possibilities. Welcome, Andrew.
Thanks for having me, Christy and Eric.
Thank you both for being here. Before I go into our first question and we start the first discussion, Andrew, when I introduced you, I noted that you were co-founder and CEO of Artisite, and we probably have a lot of listeners online who are thinking, what or who is Artisite? Do you mind telling us who or what is Artisite?
Sure. Artisite is rapidly becoming the standard for smart hospitals in the United States and abroad. We essentially equip hospitals with the ability to see in the form of cameras, hear and talk in the form of microphones and speakers, sense in the form of touching or proprioception where things are with an asset tracking system that we made that is similar to touch in humans. We also have radar sensors that allow the hospital infrastructure to sense and detect a patient's heart rate, respiratory rate, blood pressure. And lastly, we have algorithms that read a patient's medical record. So it's really a platform foundation that replicates most of human senses to give the hospital building the same capabilities as the doctors and the nurses, at least for data capture.
When you talk about the sensing and all the things that the Artisite solution can do, you're trying to solve a problem. And the problem has seemed like an unsolvable problem for so many years. I've been in this industry for the last 22 years, and we are constantly surrounded by the talk track of the complexity of healthcare. And when you zoom in on the complexity of healthcare, you can zoom in on it at a health system level, you can zoom in on it at a business line level, at a department level, at a patient level. But when you describe Artisite and the complexities that Artisite is trying to solve for, what are those complexities?
At its core, Artisite is really trying to solve for two things. We want hospitals to have the ability to generate data in real time passively and generate data that is far more accurate than relying on the doctors and nurses to do it. On top of that foundation of real time, very accurate data, you can fix or automate or optimize almost any problem in the hospitals. That's really what we set out to do. You're right that you can zoom into healthcare almost infinitely. You see a lot of automation in other industries, especially manufacturing, where you can treat every cog as the same cog. You can't do that in hospitals. You can't treat every patient the same. And that variability is something that it really took sensors a long time to be able to process. It took transformer technologies in the form of artificial intelligence to be able to monitor all the variations of a specific workflow or task or event. And the real reason you're seeing this all happen now and haven't seen it to date is because healthcare is more complex, it's more complicated, there's more variation. And now we actually have sensors that can monitor all of that.
When you think about how complex it is and how far we've come with sensors, it's actually to the benefit of the patient. As much as I hate to say it, but the patient really has been lost in the complexity this whole time. And that's been an unfortunate part of the healthcare system. Andrew, if we can do a little bit of a deep dive into a very specific area, which is the operating room. It is a revenue generating department within the healthcare system, and it's just complex in a very different way. So if we zoom in on your technology specifically for the operating room, how is Artisight impacting workflow?
When it comes to artificial intelligence, you still see healthcare lagging behind a lot of other industries in its adoption, and that really comes down to use cases. The use case has to deliver a financial return on investment. And while artificial intelligence is now capable of solving a lot of interesting problems for healthcare, the best first use case for artificial intelligence and why you're seeing such great adoption for Artisight and the solutions we're developing with Karl Storz is because we deliver a very rapid return on investment, financially speaking. Things as simple as detecting that a patient entered an operating room with our tracking technologies to automatically document for the doctors and nurses so that they don't have to leave the patient on the stretcher in the OR to go log into a medical record and navigate to a patient chart and do that documentation and then go pick up their phone, send a notification to the surgeon and to the anesthesiologist to come to the OR and start surgery. We can handle that autonomously and keep the clinicians in the right place at the right time, focused on the patient, not the clerical tasks around patient care. That has a number of benefits, but the major benefit being we can do more cases in the OR every year. And that is a huge financial return on investment for the hospital, perhaps the highest return on investment of any opportunity they have in front of them right now. So it is a phenomenal starting place. And then on top of that foundation, we can start solving any number of problems.
It's interesting, Andrew, because for people who don't live in the operating room or spend a lot of time in the operating room, some of the things that you mentioned seem incredibly simple. What you don't realize is when you're in the space, when you're in the operating room, to know when that patient enters the OR has such a ripple effect, or to have a system that is doing autonomic documentation, taking that burden away from the caregivers. It seems so simple, but it has such an impact on patient care.
Yeah. So one of the major problems in healthcare that will burn people out is not just the documentation, it's the constant context switching. One of the things that happens is we intend to go into the OR and get the patient onto the surgical table, but you then have to context switch to documentation. And then you have to switch a different context for sending out notifications to people. And it's constantly pulling your attention in a different direction, which is actually a huge risk for the patient. Removing those tasks has a ton of ripple effects. But with that constant context switching, you're seeing it in people around that OR. So after surgery, I have to go get the next patient ready. I have to go give a break to one of my CRNAs. It'll happen commonly that they wheel a patient into the operating room for 15 minutes. I won't know that that event has occurred because someone forgot to switch contexts again. And it really does have a huge financial impact on the hospital, but also just a staff satisfaction. If people are staying late every day and missing their kids' baseball games and not being able to pick up their kids from schools, that is a huge driver of turnover. This lack of documentation and real-time coordination systems in the operating rooms and even through the rest of the hospital is a major financial burden for the healthcare system.
Completely. So can I change topics for a second? I'd like to have you talk about Artisight a little bit more, less about the healthcare system, because there are so many players spinning up what they would call quote unquote AI systems. We hear it in the consumer world. We hear it in the medical world. It is all around us. And everyone can have an algorithm that crunches data. But what it comes down to is what is the value of that algorithm? And so what really makes Artisight different in providing value to the healthcare community?
The platform approach. You're seeing an evolution of IT systems in healthcare, similar to how the internet has evolved from Web 1.0 to 2.0 to 3.0. And really, Web 2.0 was the consolidation of solutions into major platforms. You're seeing the same thing happen in healthcare now, it being a little bit delayed relative to the internet, like healthcare usually is. And you're seeing the emergence of very, very capable platforms like the major EMR vendors, The same thing will happen with artificial intelligence. You can go into the National Library of Medicine, these NCBI databases, and just query computer vision or machine vision. You'll find over 200,000 articles written on how machine vision could be used in healthcare and the success that it can deliver. You do not see 200,000 solutions in healthcare. It would bankrupt the healthcare system to put in 200,000 point solutions. What Artisite does differently is sets a platform foundation. We developed all of our technology with NVIDIA chips inside because the entire world runs on artificial intelligence in the form of an NVIDIA chipset. By moving this technology into healthcare, not only can we start developing and deploying our own solutions, but also open it up to research groups like we're doing with Johns Hopkins or other development labs that want to develop a solution but have no means by which they can distribute that into 100,000 patient rooms or 15,000 operating rooms like Artisite's going into. It's really a more scalable solution. That first deployment that we do is all about driving OR efficiency, delivering that financial return. And then you can start solving problems where maybe you're not optimizing for finance. Maybe you're optimizing for patient satisfaction. And deploying a solution where you're really going after patient satisfaction, but it's hard to justify financially, perhaps prevents that solution from ever being deployed. So what Artisite really focuses on is a platform approach with a first use case to deliver the financial return, and then provides that foundation for all other use cases to come in without having to necessarily take the same approach of looking for a financial return. It's really the platform approach that's unique.
Which is really important when you think about, you know, healthcare previously has always been siloed. Everything has been disparate. Having a platform approach really goes after a fundamental problem within healthcare. So I think that's a huge differentiator for Artisite in the marketplace. Another question, most people don't know this, but AI is not new, right? And so people have this common perception of, oh, this is new, this is scary, this is that. It's been around for many decades, and there's been different various versions of AI, deep learning, et cetera. Now we have generative AI. Any comments to the listeners out there who are still a little scared by the letters AI? Anything you can do to help ease their fear?
There's a lot of things we could talk about with that. You're right. The first algorithms were written in the 50s. The algorithms we have now are clearly far more capable. A lot of that has to do with we just now have the available compute to run algorithmic models that are starting to rival the same number of neural connections we have in the human brain. And that's why you're seeing these algorithms essentially reach parity with human level intelligence, and someday we'll go far beyond that. But the algorithms are still fundamentally probabilistic models that are determining the next word or interpreting a collection of pixels. They're not yet, although potentially soon in the future, to the point where they can truly outthink humans or make decisions on their own. And that really comes down to the limitations of algorithms and artificial intelligence still to this day. While we have reasoning models, they're not reasoning to new knowledge yet. And there are a lot of limitations. They can't determine ethical considerations well. They can't, again, develop new knowledge. They can reorder existing knowledge. So there's still fundamental limitations, and the use cases that you select for artificial intelligence need to be chosen carefully. It's like anything, you have to choose the right tool for the right problem, and artificial intelligence is not a magic bullet. It cannot solve every problem. It needs to be implemented very deliberately in order to maximize the results you can deliver for healthcare. But again, it is not something that poses an immediate risk to a lot of the use cases that we're looking at in healthcare. It really is something that is a phenomenal tool for unburdening the health system, but is not yet to the point where it's going to be unleashed to make decisions autonomously.
And I actually like your words there. It is a phenomenal tool. And it's a phenomenal tool to basically lift everyone. It isn't about replacing anybody. It isn't about micromanaging, big brothering, all these other words that induce fear. It really is about how do you have an extra tool in your toolbox to be the best version of yourself, whether that is the best version of yourself as a nurse, the best version of yourself as a surgeon, et cetera. I think we're all learning and learning how to deal with our emotions around AI. I'm going to loop Eric into the conversation. Eric, you work within Karl Storz. You are a partner alongside of Andrew and Artisite. You're an industry partner alongside of many healthcare systems. And you're constantly working to bring new technologies like Artisite's into the market. But as we were just talking, there is sometimes some fear around AI and there are adoption challenges around AI, especially in healthcare. So what are your thoughts? How do we help address the problem of adoption challenges of AI in healthcare?
Yeah. With all the customers that we've spoken to thus far, I'd really say they segment out into kind of a normal bell curve for technology adoption. So you, of course, have those that are in the leading edge. They've already adopted AI. They've already implemented it. They already have figured out what their return on investment is, where they want to prioritize their dollars that they want to spend. But the bulk of the customers we talk to are somewhere in the middle of that bell curve right now. And so they're really exploring the market still. They're really looking for advice and consultation. They're trying to prioritize where their number one useful case for having AI in their system is. And the challenge for us at Karl Storz is that we need to upskill our teams to be able to consult with that bulk of customers in the middle of the bell curve right now. And although we've been selling enterprise capable software systems for a decade plus now, kind of getting the vernacular of AI into the hearts and minds of our own sellers so that they can communicate clearly what is the value of this type of technology to those customers that are looking for consultation and really guide them through the process of how to deploy some of this technology and what it means to deploy a production AI algorithm in their environment. It's a challenge. And we are putting a lot of effort internally into upskilling our entire teams across the organization, not just our sales teams, but also our operations teams on the deployment side. So that's been the biggest challenge thus far in adoption. It's not only reaching those customers in the middle of the bell curve, but figuring out how they want to be communicated with and how we meet them where they're at to really show them the value of this type of technology, so that they understand how it can be deployed and how it can create that return on investment for them that Andrew talked about earlier.
Eric, I love how you summarize that. And I love the concept of upskilling. It is so incredibly important. And it's going to take everyone owning a little bit of that upskilling. It is going to take a community effort to upskill everyone as we go into this new era. And so that will help propel us and give us a little bit more velocity. The more educated we all are, the better.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that as us and our customers, we're all swimming in the same pool right now. We're all learning together. And the more that we can learn together and the faster we can learn as a group, the faster we'll see the real benefits of this technology as it's deployed into the healthcare systems.
Agreed. We are on this journey together. So, Andrew, I have a golden question to end with. Where do you see AI technologies going in the future with healthcare? How is AI going to transform healthcare?
There's so many ways to answer that question. I always hate answering it for the reason that anything I say in 6 months is probably going to be old. It's just advancing so rapidly. Healthcare is going to see a lot of adoption for things like revenue optimization, trying to reduce costs because those are the financial pressures. Revenue capture or revenue cycle, those things are going to see a ton of artificial intelligence applications. Ultimately, we're going to make the health system so efficient that resources will be available to, instead of kind of raising the floor with these first use cases, really raise the ceiling. And that's where this gets really exciting. And I always tell people, I didn't go to medical school because I was just dying to improve OR efficiency. But it does deliver a financial return on investment, and it does improve access to care. It does eliminate disparities in care so that marginalized populations get access to healthcare. There's a ton of immediate benefits. But the reason that a lot of physicians and nurses went to school to do these jobs was because we really want to push the ceiling. We want to get better outcomes. We want to eliminate cancer. We've seen the effects that has had on people in our own families. It really is going to be sky's the limit. Artificial intelligence is getting 144-fold cheaper every 6 months. and more capable. NVIDIA and Jensen Huang are creating new amounts of compute in each data center that are doing about a 1,000-fold increase every 8 years. Intelligence is going to fill that space. What that's going to be capable of when we see another 1,000-fold increase in intelligence in the next 5-ish years is anyone's best guess. Healthcare will for sure start with the simple use cases to optimize the financial performance, and then start doing the things that everyone is really excited about, increasing longevity, reducing the incidence of cancer and the burden of cancer, developing new drugs. These are all coming very soon, and I will be surprised if sometime by the middle of the 2030s, we don't have very sophisticated algorithms solving thousands of problems for us in healthcare.
So maybe a few comments on your answer. Your first comment on 6 months, I just wanted to underscore that because I think we forget about how fast AI is moving, that basically what you think you knew 7 months ago is actually totally changed. And then to your point, some of the things that AI will solve for us is going to actually truly change the longevity of patients in very dramatic ways. And that is what I'm most excited about. And I will say I've heard this question actually answered twice in the last 2 days by a few CEOs within healthcare. And Andrew, I have to say, you've actually given the best answer.
I'm sure in 6 months when people watch this again, they're going to be like, wow, it was all outdated. But at least for now, perhaps.
We'll even say, like, you win this week, Andrew, on that answer. Thank you for that insight. Anything to add before I wrap us up?
Just that, you know, we're again very excited for the Karl Storz partnership and what that's going to mean for getting these type of foundational technologies into health systems across the country. And again, very excited to be working with you all.
Thank you very much. I know that time is very precious. And so I wanted to first thank our listeners today of this podcast. I also want to take a moment to thank our healthcare providers and to everyone who's on the front line in healthcare. It is very often a thankless job. And so a really big thank you to our partners in healthcare and a big thank you to you, Eric, for helping drive AI within industry and to you, Andrew, for helping transform how healthcare is delivered. I am incredibly hopeful that AI can help us solve some of the unsolvable problems really for the sake of the patient and hopefully joining hands on a journey that truly changes healthcare for the better in the future. So really big thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that wraps up our conversation with Dr. Andrew Goldstein and Eric Presarge. A huge thanks to both of them for sharing such insightful perspectives. And to our listeners out there, we appreciate you joining us on Beyond the Lens MedTech Insights with Karl Storz. We hope you gained valuable knowledge from today's discussion. Don't forget to like, follow, or subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode. We have more fascinating topics and expert guests lined up just for you. So until next time, this is Christy Godet signing off. Keep exploring and stay tuned for more exciting MedTech insights.
Beyond the Lens, MedTech Insights with Karl Storz is a podcast series hosted by Karl Storz United States, a manufacturer of quality endoscopy products and other medical devices. The participants of this podcast are Karl Storz U.S. employees or paid consultants of Karl Storz U.S. To learn more about any of the Karl Storz products discussed during this podcast, including important safety and risk information, visit www.karlstorz.com.